Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 254 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis here with Sarah Powers. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Megan. It's the fifth Tuesday in March. We're still in March.
It's Tuesday? What? I don't even know what year it is right now, I feel like.
Oh my gosh. Same month that it has been for a while now.
Well, are you ready to talk about food?
I think this will be good. Yes.
Yes. Okay, so this is the third time we've actually done this, and we're talking about a week of real life dinners. And the idea is that I think we have a tendency to talk about what we plan to eat or what we would like to eat. And by that, I mean what we're going to make for dinner. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of meal planning resources and blog posts and things like that out there. But we rarely look back at what we actually ate. And I suspect that's because often our plans don't match up with reality.
I think that's true. And I think also when you make a meal plan, I think even most meal planners would say that you plan for like maybe 4 dinners, and you know that there's going to be like a random leftovers night or a smorgasbord night, but you don't even write those down because they're like,
right,
they just happen. And I think
they don't count somehow in your head. Yeah,
exactly. And I think those are some of the most interesting to look back on and share because everybody handles those differently. And it's like a little peek behind the curtain at like, no, not what did you plan to eat this week for dinner, but what did you actually feed your family? And I always find it really fascinating, like families with young children, we know we're supposed to serve the same thing and everyone's supposed to eat the same thing, but I know that's not a reality in my house. So I enjoy hearing like, oh yeah, on this night, the kids ate mac and cheese and we ate this. And I just find it more real.
It is. And I have to say right now, I am more finely tuned in to eating and food than I have been in quite some time because of what's going on with, you know, not necessarily wanting to be at the grocery store as often, or maybe wanting to get a little bit of stockpile. I don't want to say a hoard, but some, you know, get some stockpile in your pantry, and then maybe getting more creative about ways to use your pantry items and things like that. So I think that it's changing things, but it's making me pay closer attention, which has been interesting.
Well, I agree. And one reason I think I'm excited to tackle this topic during this current global pandemic, because two things. One, everybody is home a lot right now. And you're right, thinking about food and feeding a family differently and possibly even spending more time cooking and more time eating as a family. But the other thing is, this will end and listeners will be catching this episode, you know, 6 or 12 months from now. And what we ate for dinner during this, there might be some things to take away from that. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So it's both timely, but it's something we're going to have to keep feeding our families forever inside and outside of this current reality. And I think some of the things we learn, some of the recipes we try, some of the forced habits maybe around this time, maybe things that we carry forward. So I feel like it's a nice combination of something that can serve us and our listeners during this time, but that also maybe is a lasting conversation because feeding your family just is always a thing.
It just is, right? I also want to mention that last weekend I did a big pantry organization project, which I don't think I've done one of those in probably 6 years, where I really went in and cataloged and organized. And I actually created a spreadsheet and took inventory of my contents of my fridge, freezer, and pantry.
That is extra. I have never done that in my life, for the record.
Extra. Here's the reason I did it. So what I've been doing is just over the last like 3 weeks, ever since this kind of like idea that there might be shortages of certain things or whatever kind of got on my radar, I've just been shopping a little more aggressively, like a little bit more at a time than I would have. So I was buying a few more boxes of pasta than I otherwise would, or a couple extra cans of beans and, you know, maybe an extra thing of eggs, right? So the problem was I wasn't organizing it. And I got to a point where I was like, okay, I spent 300% of my grocery budget in March. Which is totally to be expected. I think that right now I'm not eating out at all. So like, you know, it kind of balances out. But I thought, I can't just continue to do that forever. So I need to know what I have in my house. And I need to get a really good feel for what people are eating. Because I know in my house, kids come and go. We would often, it's like sometimes you don't even count that pizza you picked up as like, you know, you don't really count it in your head mm-hmm. as food that was eaten. And so in a week where, say, my kids are with me 3.5 days a week. So say this was the week they were with me for 4 dinners, mm-hmm. right? Well, they're going to eat lunch at school. Mm-hmm. They're either going to grab breakfast or they're not. Like one of them might grab a shake or something or a bagel on the way out the door. Others just wouldn't eat in the morning. They're going to go to friends' houses. We're going to sometimes share meals with other families. And when you're doing, and I might be going out to eat or bringing home leftovers to the kids. And when you're doing, it's so haphazard, it's really hard to get a sense of like, what does my family actually eat? Right. And what's cool about right now is we're a closed system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything our kids are eating, we're creating and preparing and giving to them. Mm-hmm. And so I know, and myself, like so making the inventory, I felt like was just a step where I could say, okay, here's what I have. Mm-hmm. And let me check. So it's been a week. So today, actually when I'm done with this recording, it's been a week since I shopped last. I'm going to go take another inventory and I'm going to see what did we go through? How many eggs did we use in a week?
Yeah. That's really smart. No.
So I don't know. It'll just inform like how much food I actually do have to have if I don't want to shop for 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, that's important to know so you can manage your budget and meal plan and all that.
Yeah. No, it has truly changed everything. I feel like we, in the last 2 weeks, it's really only been 2 weeks that we've been on altered behavior. And already the grocery shopping has changed. It was a combination of delivery and multiple stores before. And now it's kind of settled into once a week, one store, some supplemental things by delivery if we can manage it. But I also, you know, live in a two partner, you're single and I am married. And so I do find that having two adults, we're constantly kind of keeping that inventory and like deciding what to use, what's going to go bad. I mean, we've been so good about using all fresh produce before it goes bad. And just, it's definitely changed behaviors. So I think this will be interesting. If you are a new listener and haven't heard our other week of real life dinners episodes, it's quite simple. After the break, we're just going to go through the week. I think we started writing down our meals last Sunday. So we'll go Sunday to Saturday. And we'll talk about what we had planned or didn't plan and what we actually ate that night and whether our kids liked it or whether they were home in your case, Megan. And we also had Kelsey, who works on our team as our sponsorship coordinator. She has 3 kids, a 6-year-old and 4-year-old twins. So her kids are younger and she also lives in West Virginia, a different part of the country. So last time we made her do this with us and we did that this time as well. So between the two of us, we actually have 3 families full week of actually dinners that we actually ate to report on. So it'll be fun.
Looking forward to it.
We are welcoming back Rebel Girls as a sponsor today and the Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls podcast, which is now into season 3. As someone who works in podcasting, I'm always on the lookout for podcasts that my kids can listen to. And we're all spending a ton of time at home right now, so I'm even more aware of the quality of media my kids are consuming. I'm just a big fan of the Rebel Girls books, and we also love the podcast too.
Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls podcast was created to help close the confidence gap in young girls because, Sarah, this is crazy if you think about it. By the age of 6, many girls already believe that they're less smart than boys, and 54% of women over the age of 35 said that gender stereotypes they experienced as a child have left a negative impact on their lives as an adult.
Yeah, you know, I think we're making really good strides in showing both girls and boys what all kids are capable of achieving. But the thing about that progress is that when you look at historical figures and the stories our kids learn about in history class, there's still a pretty uneven representation there. So each episode of Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls tells the story of one awesome woman, and the stories are also narrated by other super inspiring women. The episodes are around 15 to 20 minutes long, so perfect for like a bedtime wind down or just a little break within your day.
Check out Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls wherever you get your podcasts. We'll link to a couple of episodes we love in the show notes, and you can also just type in Rebel Girls into your favorite podcast player and start listening now. Go check it out. So Sarah, I shared in a recent episode that one of my favorite ways to combat stress and practice self-care is to take baths, like lots of baths. So our sponsor Osea came to us right on time. Osea, that's O-S-E-A, offers an amazing line of plant-based skin and body care solutions that are pure, safe, and effective. I am loving these products so much. They smell so good and they're really nourishing and soothing when I'm soaking in the tub.
Well, yes, I am very aware of your bath habit, and I'm happy that you've had some new products to try as you've been soaking away your coronavirus stress. So what are your favorites of those Osea products?
I love, love, love the Salt of the Earth body scrub. It smells so good, and it leaves my skin really soft. Unfortunately, I'm almost out. My other favorite is the Gigartina therapy bath. It's just this really good smelling. It's not like a salt, but it's something you apply to the bath like a powder. That smells really good. And then when I get out, I immediately put on the Undaria algae body oil, and it locks in the moisture and keeps my skin hydrated until the next time I retreat to the tub, which is never more than like 24 hours later. So all the products look beautiful on my shelf too. And that makes me really happy every time I go in the bathroom. And I feel like right now it's the little things that matter, right?
Yes, absolutely. And Osea is all about paying attention to detail. Their products incorporate botanical sources from around the world, and all of their products are also vegan and made in California, right up the road from me in Los Angeles. Osea also offers a few products that are specifically made for expecting moms, which is really nice for our pregnant listeners.
And fortunately for me, it's really easy to order Osea online, so I can stock up on more of that Salt of the Earth body scrub. Also, we've got a great deal for listeners too. So go to oseamalibu.com/themomhour, and you'll get $10 off your first purchase of $50 or more. There's free shipping for U.S. orders of $75 or more, and each order comes with free samples, which is such a fun touch. Again, that's oseamalibu.com/themomhour to get $10 off your first purchase of $50 or more.
All right. So we are going to go evening by evening and offer up what we made and served and ate that night. And I guess, Megan, where relevant, we'll talk about like a recipe or technique, but a lot of times this is just like regular people winging it, right? So
yeah,
we won't always have a recipe to link to, but as we move through, if we mention stuff, it will always be in the show notes. So we started last Sunday, and luckily you don't have to remember, you wrote it down. So what did you serve last Sunday?
So last Sunday, I had pork loin, roasted pork loin, cauliflower, also roasted, and asparagus that I made. I just threw those on a cookie sheet. And
okay. So also roasted kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Roasted. Yeah. All of it roasted. And one thing that will become sort of apparent as we go through this is that I've discovered that I way overbuy fresh produce. And so there was kind of like a fire sale in my house, like last chance to use this up. And the stuff that didn't get used got put in freezer bags and put in the freezer, which I'm usually really bad about doing. So yeah, so that was Sunday.
Nice.
How about you?
First, I have to ask really quick for your pork loin. I mean, I know because I've talked to you a lot about food. A lot of times you sear stuff and then cook it in the oven. Is that what you did?
Yep, I seared it on all sides on the stovetop, and then I coated it. Oh, I forgot to say, I had bought this. So last week I went to Costco for the first time, and last weekend, that was my last big grocery shop. And it's really funny that the stuff I bought, I just was laughing at myself when I got home. And one of the things I had purchased was this enormous jar of peeled peaches.
Yeah, you sent me a picture. It looks like a decoration. It doesn't even look like
beautiful.
Real food.
It was beautiful. And then it sat on my counter, and I thought, well, I started feeling weird about not using it. Like, I started thinking, what am I going to use this thing for? And so I made, with about half the peaches, I made like a peach. I buttered, you know, like sauteed in butter with a little sugar, a bunch of the peaches, and those went on top. And I coated the whole thing in like grainy mustard. So the pork loin itself coated in grainy mustard. And then put that in the oven on a roasting pan for, I don't remember. It took a lot longer to cook than it was supposed to, but I think it's because it was a pretty big cut of meat.
Okay.
And I just looked up the instructions online. And then the cauliflower and asparagus, just cookie sheet, olive oil, salt.
Yeah.
In the oven at like 400.
Do your kids ever, like if you serve that, that all sounds delicious to me. Do your kids ever want a proper complex carb or starch? Like do they look for a pasta or a rice or a bread or something if you're just serving meat and veg? Okay. Because that's
if
my
I serve
preference.
Meat and veg, they would eat that.
My preference is just to eat meat and veg.
And you know, it's funny. We're not like a big bread with dinner family anymore. Like there was a time I remember always putting out buttered bread, and I don't do that anymore. And no one seems to care. They just eat what's in front of them.
Well, I mean, I'm well known on this show for having said just cut up sliced apples and buttered bread. And that's like my insurance policy. If they don't like something, then that's what they eat for dinner. And we don't really say anything or make a big deal of it. But I would agree. We're even moving away from needing to do that with every meal. And in general, if my kids like the meat and like the veg, or we often would also cut up a fruit because they just aren't as big on vegetables. But yeah, we're not. Some families just have like a pasta or a bread or a rice with every meal. I was just curious.
Well, and I think because I stopped eating a lot of that kind of carby stuff, and so my meals just started moving away from that. There was definitely a time when rice would be more of a thing, or like noodles. And
yeah.
And then when I kind of stopped eating that way, I just sort of started cooking the way I was eating, and no one seemed to really notice or miss it.
Yeah,
so far, so good. They're older, though. That makes a difference.
Oh, you know? Totally. Yeah. Okay, so last Sunday we had cheeseburgers, which was kind of a nice treat. And I love a cheeseburger at home if it has like a bunch of things on it that I like. And so that would be like avocado, like a good avocado. I love sliced red onion, good cheese. And Violet does not like cheeseburgers. I want to say that she maybe had some buttered noodles on the side. I didn't write that down, but I'm guessing. And then we had a small package of chicken wings, raw chicken wings. And Brian makes really good homemade chicken wings. He makes them in the oven, but he does like barbecue sauces, and Reed and Allegra both love them, and it's usually kind of a treat. But we had this small package that we needed to thaw and use. So Brian made kind of a side of chicken wings. So we had cheeseburgers and chicken wings. And I don't think Brian and I made a salad or anything. I think I just ate a cheeseburger. So
well, that's a good Sunday meal.
It is. And then Kelsey, they grilled a pork loin, mashed potatoes, and broccoli from frozen. And she said the kids ate the pork loin, but Audrey's on a meat aversion lately. So she was hesitant until she drowned her pieces in ranch. And don't we all know that?
Yes. And you know what else I learned about Costco? You can get really big bottles of ranch there.
Yeah. And they come in two packs.
Yes.
We use a lot of ranch. Yes. I learned so much.
I learned so much. Okay. So all right. Monday, you want me to go first? Okay. So after I did, it was Sunday was when I did my pantry, freezer, and fridge reorganization project. And I learned that I had 8 dozen eggs. Now, I'm not sure how one accidentally acquires 8 dozen eggs.
You only have one fridge, right?
Just one fridge.
Yeah, because I have a garage refrigerator, so I could see how that would happen to us. But that would be really take up a lot of space in just one refrigerator.
Yes, it really would and does. but I think that the way I have one of those side-by-side fridges, which I don't honestly love, I don't think they give you really good space in the freezer in particular. And there's not like a good wide place to put like a pizza box or whatever. But I think what was happening is I was stashing eggs in different spots in my fridge and just didn't realize the enormity of how many I had. So I stacked them all up. I have a picture that we can maybe put in the show notes. I was cracking up. They're not even all like the same eggs. They're like, they were again, like I had bought an extra dozen eggs just here and there.
Yeah.
And then they didn't get used. So on Monday I made 2 quiches. We ate one for lunch and one for dinner. And my plan had been to have leftovers that night. But I think one of the things I'm learning, or I know this, I've already known this, but one of the things I'm forcing myself to grapple with is the fact that I need to buy a lot less than I think I do if I'm just careful to use everything.
Yeah.
And that, yes, because otherwise, probably those eggs would have, maybe some would have gotten thrown away or like, you know what I mean? We would have eaten pork that night and then maybe made a totally different dinner the next night.
Right.
But there would have been these unaccounted for eggs. So
do you have a pie crust, like just a chilled like Pillsbury pie crust that you use for your quiche?
Yes. Okay. I buy the Pillsbury rollout stuff.
Yeah, those work really well. I just don't keep them on hand. It wouldn't be something I would have in a pandemic.
So I wouldn't typically, like if the pandemic had just hit us all of a sudden and I had to cook with what was like already in my fridge, I wouldn't either. I had bought them a couple weeks earlier for some other purpose, and I just still had them. So I will also say that I am not a super brand specific person, but I really do think the Pillsbury rollout is better than any generic I've ever used.
Yeah, that's always what we've gotten to. I mean, so at the holidays and stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, just all throwing a plug in there for the Pillsbury.
The Pillsbury Doughboy. So Monday was kind of a terrible dinner in terms of culinary experience. And you and I had some laughs about this. So we use ButcherBox for a lot of our proteins and we have for a while, but it sometimes means that Brian gets a little experimental in what types of meat he orders. So he had a beef roast, like a chuck roast, I think. And this is uncharacteristically Brian because he's really a very, very good cook and he's very good with meat and protein. So I'm not exactly sure what went through his mind, but he was thinking that if he did that in the slow cooker, it would fall apart like a pot roast kind of. And so he looked up a recipe and he did use like the sauce that it simmered in or slow cooked in was from a recipe. And it was like a meatloaf sauce, kind of like a ketchup-y.
Yeah.
But the meat never softened or fell apart. And it was kind of terrible. He tried to slice it, but then it was like like, it wasn't like prime rib, like nice sliced. Yeah. I can't even explain what it was because I'm not a super, like, super knowledgeable about different cuts of beef, but it was terrible in terms of, it was so hard. And Brian and I were like, okay, I guess you don't do that in the crock pot. And you were laughing at us. You're like, no, you don't do that in a crock pot. Silly.
Well, I think sillies. People do. No, no, no. I don't think you're silly at all. I think people do it in the crock pot all the time. And I don't understand it. You know that I've talked on the show before about how my crock pot, like, what the things I'm willing to make in a crock pot is usually like dips and chili. I'll definitely all day long make meatballs with the grape jelly and the chili sauce. I will all day long make that thing with the Velveeta and the Rotel tomatoes and the sausage.
So you want like a fondue crock pot.
To me, that's what a crock pot is for. And every time I've tried to do meat, it always either tastes just like gelatinous goo with no flavor, or it's overdone and tastes like dry and bad. I've never had a good meat experience.
Well, okay. So I've mostly done chicken, and I've done chicken thighs and chicken breasts and shredded them and done them like Mexican style. And it always turns out great. So I guess the beef thing was new to us, but the funniest part about it is all three of the kids loved this meat, and I can't get all three of my kids to like anything, let alone disgusting, hard beef. And they all three liked it. And you wrote back, you're like, well, kids love junk meat. So I guess what I've been doing wrong all these years is like try to feed my kids maybe a more highly elevated, I don't know.
No, so kids, true. Kids love junk meat.
And they love the sauce, this very like vinegary, like ketchup-y sauce. So anyway, with that, there had been some veggies in the crock pot with it. I didn't even touch them because I was grossed out by the whole thing. But then we roasted some sweet potatoes and carrots on the side. So I literally only ate roasted sweet potatoes and carrots. And then we had also toasted a bunch of plain bagels because we didn't know how the whole thing was going to go down. And that's kind of like going back to the bread as safety net. That's our go-to. So plain bagels, junk meat, and roasted sweet potatoes on Monday night.
Unfortunately, it was like really high quality meat probably, but just like a junky preparation of it. So, you know.
I love what Kelsey wrote because this is so me. This is like something that happens at my house. She said, Eric ate sushi, which first of all, that's interesting because I don't know where they're procuring sushi in a quarantine.
I had the same thought.
We'll like, get back
she
to
go
you.
Get it at the grocery store?
We'll get
store?
Back to you on that. The okay. kids had quesadillas and carrot sticks and ranch, and this is Kelsey writing, I was feeling overwhelmed this night and just snacked. And that is, I could do that half the night. Like, I'm not a big dinner person. And if I'm feeling overwhelmed or just feeling stressed by feeding everyone else, I just eat a few bites off the kids' plate and call it a night. I eat much more, like all of my caloric consumption is in the first half of the day. So I'm just like, I could totally do that at night.
Love it.
So, okay, Tuesday?
Tuesday, I finally got around to the leftover pork loin. I chopped it up and served it with cauliflower rice and roasted broccoli. And then I had a little surprise because I found when I was doing my pantry, I found that I had somehow wound up with some extra stuff from HelloFresh. I think it must have been like I got a shipment when I was going out of town or something. So I didn't use up a couple of those little cute jars of fig.
They are so cute.
It's like fig jam or fig preserves. And then a couple of those cute little bottles of balsamic. And so I just... And then I still had a shallot. So I made the fig reduction that they usually send with their chicken recipe. But I made it for the pork loin.
Nice.
And it was delicious.
And the pork loin at this point, was it chopped up small, like a hash kind of? Or were you still?
I served it almost like a stir fry because it's cauliflower rice. Yeah. So it was like cubed.
Okay. Yep. And then my other question is, does the cauliflower rice you buy, is it frozen?
Yes, it's frozen in bags. And I put like I take the bag and I whack it with the metal spoon a bunch to break up the rice because otherwise it clumps. And then I get oil really hot in a skillet and throw it in there. And that's how I cook it because otherwise I find that I don't like the texture.
It's so that should like.
It's too mushy.
Right.
But this like almost toasts it.
Yeah, it gets, it evaporates off that water.
Yeah. And I almost make it like a hash brown where I spread it out in the pan and smash it down.
I would like
that. And then flip it and it makes it like nice and golden and toasty everywhere. And it tastes so much better, I think. And I actually, it doesn't taste like rice.
No.
But with enough flavor, it's rice-like.
I love that.
So, yeah.
I love that. Trader Joe's has the, I think they have it where it comes frozen, but they also have it fresh. And I, for a while, was buying it fresh, but it goes bad in the bag so fast. Like, you have to use it. Yeah. Like, if you blink, it'll be stinky. And it's super stinky. So yes. I've also bought it fresh and then frozen it myself. And that has worked well, too. And I know you're not a smoothie person, but if you can put that frozen cauliflower rice in a smoothie and it does not taste like anything. It has the, it's an absence of taste. So it doesn't taste like a vegetable, like kale is bitter or you know, other vegetables have a flavor. And so it blends up, you know, it's icy already and it blends up smooth. And I don't think you can taste it at all. So I'm not.
Well, that's why people are making like cauliflower pie crust or pizza crusts and all these things. It's just, it just takes on the flavor of whatever you make it with. Yeah. And I was laughing at myself because one of the things I purchased at Costco was an enormous bag, like enormous bag of cauliflower rice. And then I got home and I was like, how am I even going to fit this in my freezer? I had to like smush. I had to whack it a bunch of times again with a spoon just to smush it down so that I could like fit it into my freezer. Oh, well.
That is the Costco challenge.
How about you?
So Tuesday we redeemed ourselves from junk meat and we had another piece of beef from the butcher box that we thawed and it was tri-tip. And so like proper Californians, we grilled tri-tip and then I had these carrots that like the multicolored carrots, but not even the baby ones, but like the big long ones. So they look like they came from the farmer's market or something. They just came from Trader Joe's, but they were so pretty. And I peeled them and cut them up and they were purple and white and yellow and I roasted them. And so it felt like a much improved over the night.
Much improved.
So, and the kids liked that meal too. We just had the grilled tri-tip and the roasted carrots.
Now, how do your kids feel about vegetables that are in a color that they're not anticipating? And I ask this because a lot of the classic advice on getting your kids to eat, you know, vegetables is like serve a variety of colors. Right. But I know kids who are very suspicious of something that's not the color that they're expecting it to be.
Yeah, I would say they have enthusiasm if they're involved at all in the shopping and preparing. And that's where the, you know, the experts would be like, include your kids in the process. And we have had fun like purple sweet potatoes and purple carrots. When it comes to the eating, I think they have all kinds of opinions that they can taste the difference, which ones they like better. And it's kind of like which is your favorite M&M? Like they all taste the same, but we still have like a favorite color. So yeah, I don't know. Two of my three kids will eat roasted carrots and Reed prefers raw. And so we just, whenever we have roasted carrots, we just give him a pile of raw carrots and, you know, everyone's eating carrots. So
yeah.
Kelsey's family had bratwurst that night with grilled peppers and onions, which that sounds really good. I feel like I want to put that in our rotation. And she said the kids just ate the bratwurst, cut like a hot dog and dipped in ketchup. And that's totally something that we would do as well, like make it fancy for us and then stream it down.
And then kit it up for the kids. Yeah. Yes.
And they had French fries from a frozen bag and mixed fruit. So
I love frozen French fries. That's like such a good staple to have in your house because you can add it to anything.
And we have been doing that more than usual in this current climate.
Environment,
we have had more bags of frozen things. Okay, well, that brings us to Tuesday and we are going to take our break and then we'll finish the week when we come back. Megan, we are welcoming back our sponsor, Yippee, a new streaming service for kids ages 2 to 10. And oh my gosh, this could not have come along at a more perfect time. We're all kind of finding new rhythms for work and school and entertainment right now. And I know that for my family, screen time rules have totally changed.
Well, yeah. And what's nice about Yippee is that even if your kids are spending more time on their screens than usual right now, the quality of what they're watching doesn't have to be full of those sassy attitudes that are part of so many kids' shows. Yippee really wants to shift kids' content away from all that. So all their shows are vetted by parents and there are no ads or algorithms.
The Yippee app has animated shows, live action shows, and those kind of YouTube style shows that kids are just so drawn to these days, you know, like DIY craft projects and crazy food challenges and that kind of thing. But because the kids are watching in the Yippee app, they're not going to accidentally be served up something inappropriate by the algorithm. You can stream Yippee on a tablet or right to your streaming TV device like your Apple TV or your Roku.
Yippee was built on faith-based programming, but it has expanded to include lots of shows that are friendly for any family, so you definitely don't have to be Christian to enjoy it. They really just want to make sure parents have good options for screen time, especially during this crazy time in all of our lives. And we've got a great deal for you in partnership with Yippee. Sign up at yippee.tv and use promo code MOMHOUR25 and you'll get 25% off your first 3 months. Yippee is spelled Y-I-P-P-E-E and it's yippee.tv, not .com. So again, that's 25% off your first 3 months when you use promo code MOMHOUR25 at yippee.tv. Sarah, remember how last week we heard from a listener about how much they love that they gave their grandma a skylight frame for Christmas? She was so glad they had because it's an easy way to help grandma feel connected, even though they aren't seeing each other in person right now.
Oh my gosh, yes. That comment from our listener, it really got me thinking about how everyone is housebound right now. And that means grandparents aren't seeing the grandkids or great grandkids. That's why this really is the perfect time to send Skylight Frames to your loved ones who live far away or even right across town since we're all social distancing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Skylight makes touchscreen digital frames that friends and family can easily send photos to. So the way it works is you just email photos to the frame and they automatically pop up on it, which is such a fun surprise. Multiple people can send photos to the frame. So it's a great way to keep large families and big networks in touch.
Yeah, and you don't need to worry that this will be hard for your technology-challenged mom or father-in-law to set up since you won't be on hand to help. Skylight Frames set up really easily in under 60 seconds. You plug it in, use the touchscreen to connect to your wireless network, and you're in business. It's totally easy enough that you could walk your loved one through it over the phone or FaceTime. The frame has a touchscreen so they can easily swipe through the photos with their finger and even tap the heart button to let the sender know that they like the photo. It's like closed-circuit Instagram.
I know. I love that it functions a lot like the social media platforms that people are already used to using anyway. And I can think of so many people that I would love to be able to share photos in this way with right now. And Skylight offers 100% satisfaction guarantee. That means if you're not happy with your frame for any reason, they will refund your money.
And now, as a special offer, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter the code HOUR. That's right. To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame, just go to skylightframe.com and enter HOUR. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com. And the promo code is HOUR, HOUR. All right. We're continuing through the week of dinners that we actually ate and fed our families. So we are up to Wednesday. Megan, what did you have on Wednesday?
So here's the second half of my week when things start to spiral downward. The kids
that
go.
That makes it sound so bad. Do you just mean they start to change structure?
Well, gosh, that makes it sound better.
Oh, you mean they actually spiral downward?
The kids go to John's on Wednesday, and typically they would go right after school. So typically Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I would be feeding myself only. And Jacob, if he were here. But he has been going with the kids. I've been all alone in my house Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then some Saturdays, you know, every other Saturday. And so usually I'd go out.
Yeah.
But that's not happening right now. And I'm finding that I'm getting very particular about what I'm willing to spend money on for takeout as well. Yeah. And I mean, it's just a different experience. Like when I sit down at a restaurant and someone's serving me and they're filling my wine glass for me, I'm willing to spend money on things I wouldn't want to spend money on if I sit at home and pull out a menu. I just have to be really honest. So I haven't really even been doing takeout or delivery. So anyway, Wednesday, I had had this plan to get up and make the kids like a big breakfast, but they all slept in and then I got busy. So then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to make you guys a big brunch. And then I just kind of didn't want to. I don't know. It was just one of those days I just didn't get moving and they had been like snacking all late morning and nobody was hungry. And then John got held up on a job, so he wasn't going to be there until like close to five. And since my ex is one of the only adults I get to see right now, I was like, do you want to come over for dinner? He's like an excited puppy dog. Like, oh my gosh, there's going to be another adult in the house. And so he came over to get the kids. And then we all had like a big breakfast for dinner. But the funny thing is, it wasn't even really dinner time. It was neither lunch nor dinner. It was like dinner.
I think it was 4:30. And so it was breakfast.
And I had mimosas for he and I, and that was really fun.
That is perfect. But what did you actually cook? Yes. Like, what does that look like, breakfast for Leonard, regardless of the time?
We had pancakes, bacon. We still had some leftover quiche and mimosas. And then the kids had fake mimosas with 7-Up.
That's really cute. Do you have a pancake mix that you like or a recipe?
Well, let me tell you, I bought a huge bag of it at Costco. And it's the Crusties. And Crusties, I mean, usually I would just use whatever. I would use Bisquick or whatever. I actually really liked the Crusties. I thought that the ratio was correct.
Okay.
Which I often find that when I follow the box, it's too thick and I have to water it down. And sometimes the first pancake is bad. Mm-hmm. Like it's just too doughy. So I was happy. I was very happy. Good. They weren't as sweet as some pancakes. Some pancakes are a little sweeter. And I don't put usually syrup on mine. So I like them a little bit sweeter and then just butter and maybe some fruit. But I just use from a mix. I don't make them myself.
We do actually quite a bit from scratch, but not because we're fancy, just because sometimes it feels like equal amount of work. Like if you have to get out a mixing bowl and eggs and a measuring cup for the water or oil anyway, it's just not. So we used to not keep mix on hand and we would just make it from scratch. And at one point I had a simple recipe memorized, so I didn't even have to look it up. But lately we have been picking up a mix. Trader Joe's has a couple good ones, and Brian will add chocolate chips, and I love pancakes. Mm.
Well, and the mixes that I tend to use do not call for eggs. It's
oh,
just
that's helpful then.
Water.
Okay. But you do have
eight
dozen.
I mean, that makes it so much easier.
But you
but I used a good three dozen on my quiches because I make quiches with tons of eggs. So
yeah.
So now I'm down. Like my egg pile, my egg hoard is low.
It has been right sized. Wednesday,
how about you?
Wednesday, I think was the day Brian, it must have been the day Brian went to the store. It's all blurring together. But it must have been because he came home with Trader Joe's has pizza dough uncooked. So it's the dough itself, but it's in a sealed plastic bag and you then roll it out and make your own pizza. And it's really fun. And it also doesn't stay good for more than like 24, 48 hours. So you have to use it right away. A listener told us via Instagram that you can freeze that as well, which is good to know. So we made three homemade pizzas, rolled them out, and they also sell fresh sauce that's in more of like in a plastic container, not a jar. So it's like fresh. So we bought that at Trader Joe's, and Allegra's had Canadian bacon, Reed's had sausage, Violet's was cheese. We let them all like pick their topping and make their pizza. And then we just stood over the counter with them and basically ate off their plates for ourselves. So we served no sides. There was nothing like it was fun to make the pizzas, but it wasn't really a complete meal. There was nothing else. It was just, we all shoved our faces with a lot of pizza. So it was good.
Well, that sounds like a meal to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, it was,
it's got your fruit or your vegetable on it.
Yeah.
The
sauce,
right?
The sauce. Yeah. We had a fresh sauce. Yeah. It's a stretch.
Yeah, exactly.
So Kelsey said she meant to skip her HelloFresh delivery, but she forgot. So it came, their HelloFresh delivery. And they had a creamy Parmesan chicken spaghetti, and the kids had leftover pizza and applesauce. So yay for Kelsey and Eric, at least getting a yummy HelloFresh.
I love that she said something like, I forgot to skip my HelloFresh. It just showed up and I'm so excited.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That
All
was
right,
pretty
that
fun.
Brings us to Thursday, which would be you by yourself, correct?
Yes. So this is me by myself. And I did not knock it out of the park. There was nothing to write home about that day. I realized I still had leftover pork in the fridge. And I can also be someone who doesn't care about dinner.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know. I'm sitting here by myself. I'm working. I had kind of a later lunch and I thought, I know I should eat and there's food in my fridge and I should have some, but I wasn't excited about any of it. So I just took out some pork loin and there was still a couple little slices of peach and I smashed them down on the top and had that. And that was like at 4. And then at like 7 o'clock, I had a big bowl of popcorn.
Yeah.
Homemade popcorn with lots of butter.
Yeah. I know you love your popcorn. I like popcorn too.
What about you?
Well, I realized that I have made it to Thursday of this week without properly disclosing, like, I've been using the royal we a lot. I don't know if you've noticed. And you know the actual...
I wasn't going to call you out.
I actually meant to say this at the beginning. I wasn't trying to be sheepish about it. But the royal we suggests that we do all of this cooking and Brian's been home. But Brian is the one who loves to cook in our family. And during the current pandemic, he's been home. I would say that during normal life, non-pandemic life, we're about 60-40 or 70-30 him, meaning I am fully capable of putting dinner on the table for my family. I just don't enjoy it as much. And if he's home in time, then he'll do it. And often it's 50-50 in terms of deciding what to thaw, what to get, we're very collaborative in deciding what to have, but he's the one who gets his hands in there and cooks because he really enjoys it. And during pandemic life, it's pretty much been 100% him, or I've been some kind of a sous chef. Like I do the roasted vegetables and I, you know, might prep some stuff for the kids, but he is the one doing the cooking. So I just felt like before I go into chicken curry, and that's what reminded me because it was all him.
Yeah.
Our chicken curry.
You're there for moral support. You are there for moral support.
I am. And there are other divisions of labor in our house that perhaps look more traditional or more equal. And I think, you know, I don't know. I feel a little guilty. Like, I know not everybody has a super willing and able cooking partner as I do, but I guess I shouldn't feel guilty. I should just give him the props that he deserves. He's a very good cook.
Yes, exactly. No reason to feel guilty about that.
So Thursday we had chicken and veggie curry with brown rice. And so we usually just look up a recipe online. We don't do it the same every time, but there's always a can of coconut milk that we buy from Trader Joe's that I just usually have on hand. And then a bunch of curry powder. And I know this time he cooked the chicken in a pan, like it was chicken thighs. And he chopped them up small first and cooked them in high heat in the pan, but not really with any spices, just the chicken by itself, and then set it aside. And then did all the veggies with the curry spices, added the coconut milk so it was like a sauce, and then put the chicken back in. And then
that sounds so good.
Yeah, it was really good. And then we happened to have fresh cilantro, and I like slivered almonds and like a squeeze of lime. I'm a big like, you know, the garnishes.
Accoutrement.
Yeah, I like garnishes. Yes. So that made it yummy. And the kids are getting better about dinners like that. Like they'll try the chicken in the sauce. And we must have done, I didn't write it down, but we must have supplemented with some buttered bread because I know they didn't all eat chicken curry and rice. So I can't remember. I didn't write it down. But for the record, I'm sure that we made them some peanut butter toast or something. So that was Thursday. And Kelsey said it was really nice out where they live finally. So they grilled steaks and had baked potato and corn. That sounds lovely.
Sounds delicious as well. It sounds like what I'll be eating hopefully within the next couple of months because it'll be nice here.
Yeah. And you've got a new, I'll be able to have new a house and proper, new deck. And yeah.
Yep.
So Friday. Proper grill out meal.
Okay. So on Friday, I was sitting around thinking, gee whiz, what am I going to eat? Because I'm finally like either out of pork or I'm just done with it. And let's not miss the fact that one pork loin, not a tenderloin, but like the bigger like roast loin got us, what, three meals?
Yeah.
And I think there was still some left. So that's just a good thing for me to remember as I'm planning. But I was just sitting there thinking, gosh, what am I going to get to eat? And I had been to CVS a few days earlier and I just had to get like some CVS type stuff like that you couldn't really get because the grocery stores I go to are just groceries. They don't have like good shampoo and things like that.
Yeah.
So I had to make a run to CVS, but because everyone's trying to like cut down on how much they're doing, I had asked friends if they needed anything and I ended up calling it the Corona variant. The Corona fairy was coming to visit. So I dropped off like a bag with Jenna had requested a couple things, but I threw in some like little face masks for her and the girls to do in like a magazine. And
I thought you meant face masks. I was like
no, I did. Like, yeah, no, not like, no, not like a medical face mask. Right. No, like fun ones. Like,
yeah.
You know, like the ones that look like a tiger or whatever.
Yes.
A sheet mask. Thank you. And like, I was just grabbing stuff as I was like walking up, I wasn't, you know, shopping around, but I was like, oh, these are cute. Throw those in. I grabbed a little thing of mini margaritas. Cause I know for myself, like, one of the things I keep thinking right now is I wish someone would just make me a really good cocktail, which is funny because I rarely drink cocktails.
Yeah.
But because I can't have anyone make me one, that's what I want.
Yeah. You really enjoy like being out and like the experience of sitting at a bar and I can see that.
So I just grabbed a little mini thing of margaritas. Anyway, so I called it the Corona Fairy. And then so last night they dropped off a wet burrito from a local restaurant.
Nice.
As my Corona Fairy, which was a nice surprise because I was thinking like I didn't know what I wanted. And otherwise, I guess I would have sat alone and eaten leftover popcorn.
I mean, a burrito delivery is pretty much like the food version of love. Like,
yes,
a burrito. I mean, I have always said that a burrito is like my desert island food. Like if I could only eat one food for the rest of my life, it would be a burrito because it has everything in it that you would ever need. So what was in yours? Was it chicken?
It was a steak wet burrito.
Ooh, yeah.
And this restaurant is a little out of the way. I wouldn't have thought to go there myself. But they make really, really good wet burritos with like the red sauce and a ton of cheese. And then I just slathered sour cream all over it and good spices. It was delish.
Yeah. And that probably did you eat the whole thing or were there leftovers? Cause I would eat leftovers of that for sure.
I usually cherry pick all the stuff I want.
Yeah.
Like I kind of rip it open and then eat everything I want out. So what's left is usually just the bottom.
A pile.
It's a pile of stuff that goes in the trash. So
sounds good. Yeah. Well, okay, so this was, we're recording this on a Saturday, so this was actually last night, and this was a fully split adult-kid dinner. So the kids had hot dogs and sweet potato fries that, you know, from a frozen bag and some cut-up fruit, and we had some salmon we had bought, but not a lot of it. So I think Allegra might have had some of the salmon, but we never even intended to serve it for the kids. So this was like one of those meals where it was adults versus kids from the very beginning. And asparagus, Brian does his asparagus. He did it in the pan on the stove this time, but he uses sesame oil and black sesame seeds and it's so good. What was funny is I was really looking forward to the salmon and asparagus cause I had not been eating super healthy the last couple days. And so I just felt like, okay, that feels like a healthy grown up meal. And we had friends FaceTime us, our closest friends in Arizona, FaceTimed us like surprise. It wasn't like a planned Zoom happy hour, but it was like, it made the night. It was just like seeing these faces that we weren't expecting to see, and the kids seeing their friends and us seeing, this was like the family where we were good couple friends with the couple. And, but it was right as Brian served the dinner because it wasn't planned. And so we ended up FaceTiming with our friends, and then the dinner was a little cold. So I felt a little sad about that, but happy to have like had the surprise of seeing our friends on the screen.
Yeah.
So that was last night. Kelsey said they had hamburgers, potato wedges, and roasted broccoli. That all sounds good.
I want to go to Kelsey's house.
I know. I feel like Kelsey's not here to defend herself, but I feel like she's a good meal planner and probably better than she gives herself credit for about like, okay, this is what we're having. Like, you know, we're sticking to it. Like the kids may need, you know, they may not eat it, but this is what we're having. And so good job, Kelsey. Especially when my kids were younger, like Kelsey's kids' ages, I was not nailing it department. Yes. So we have to talk about what we're planning to serve tonight because we didn't, I mean, this is like the last day of the week that we recorded or that we wrote down our meals. So what do you have planned? Your kids are coming home, right?
My kids are coming home and I have groceries being dropped off soon. Well, I believe, but you know, now everything takes longer. And so if my groceries are delivered on time, which means it's going to have to be in the next half hour, it'll be slow braised pork shoulder, probably cauliflower rice and Brussels sprouts. But if the pork isn't delivered on time, that'll be tomorrow's meal. And today will probably be like spaghetti with vegetables on the side or something, because I have to use up those Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
But like, I don't have another fresh meat. All my other meat's in the freezer.
Yeah.
So, and if the way I do pork shoulder, I cook it for 6 to 7 hours.
Yeah.
So it would already be a late dinner.
Yeah.
And it's going to get too late if it doesn't get here soon.
So how will you do the cauliflower rice? In this case, it's not part of like a stir fry. It'll just be by itself. Same way.
Yeah. It would just be on the side.
Okay.
Yep. And just then, salted, just like buttered and salted like rice. Yeah.
Do all of your children eat Brussels sprouts? I know they're like grown children, but.
I cannot think of one who won't eat them.
Okay.
Clara loves them really burned.
Yeah. I kind of do too. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say really burned, but I love the crispy ones.
So I make like, I cut them in half, but I cut a few of them smaller so that they'll cook even more. And then she kind of goes through and picks the ones that she likes. And I think Will's not a huge fan, but he'll eat a couple. Like he's not going to turn up his nose completely.
So I have had trouble getting the desired crispiness consistently. And I've been roasting Brussels sprouts probably since it was first popular for a few years. I feel like you and I have talked about roasted Brussels sprouts on this podcast probably for 5 years. But I just feel like sometimes I nail it and sometimes I don't. And I think for a while I was putting too much oil, or I don't know. And so now I've gotten a little like timid about it, because when I nail it, I nail it. And I also like it crispy, salty, you know, really like a good char on some of the pieces. And I just haven't figured out. Sometimes I feel like they're soggy or I don't know. Maybe it could be the quality of the vegetable itself. deflecting the blame from me.
The little ones cook up better, in my opinion. And the ones that are easy to find in big bags often tend to be big, and I cut them way down. I've also found that I have to kind of like start the heat lower and then crank it up to get that char. But if I start too hot, then the outside roasts before the inside can cook or something.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So yeah, I've played around with it a lot. And I wouldn't say it's perfect, but I do think when I get the little cute ones, those tend to just do better than the big ones. And
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep trying. Tonight we have kind of boring boneless, skinless chicken breasts thawing, or maybe they're already thawed. But we're going to grill them. It's nice. And probably barbecue sauce. The kids like barbecue sauce. I could kind of take or leave it, but they will eat chicken more if there's like a barbecue flavor to it. And Brian and I, we were just noticing that we have a bunch of good romaine. So we might turn that into like a really exciting salad, like not a boring salad, but an entree salad, if you will. I think we have some avocado. And so maybe like approaching a Cobb situation like that direction for us, or a barbecue chicken salad. And then what else? I mean, probably fruit and bread for the kids. That's as far as we've planned. Kelsey said they are doing chicken and ribs on the smoker. And we'll have baked beans and roasted carrots. We also got a smoker for Christmas, Brian did. And so we sometimes do smoked stuff. And that's kind of cool, too.
That sounds like really gourmet. I need a smoker.
It is. I mean, you have room in the backyard for it now.
I know, I do.
Plugs in. It's like the size of like a mini fridge, kind of. Yeah. And it's on wheels, so like it's stored on the side of the house with like a cover, but just like a portable grill, like you can wheel it out and get it set up. And I don't like smoked flavor. Like I really don't.
No,
like,
I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't like super smoky. When there's like all those chips in there that add all the smokiness
you
to
and
them,
I,
but
it's
I do
our flavor profile matchup.
Exactly.
Like, no, I hate that. Now, ribs that are cooked in the smoker, if they don't have that smoky, that's fine. But like, I hate smoked salmon and smoked, like anything with that hickory. Like,
I think it depends a lot on what is added during the smoking, right? Mm-hmm. So I've had lots of things like I'll go to a barbecue, say festival type thing, and I've had like really good pulled pork sandwiches or ribs out of a smoker that I've loved. And then sometimes I eat something that's got that intense smoky flavor.
Yes.
And they're smoking beer now. You seen that?
No.
Around here. Well, you know, people in Michigan and their beer. Like, and now everybody's got to outdo each other to have the best beer, the most unique beer. So they put it, like they pour the beer and then they put this like glass, like it looks like a little cloche or whatever. Over the top, it's like full of smoke.
Yes, I
smokes
have
the beer.
Seen this.
Yeah. Blah.
No, I don't like
no,
that.
No, thank you.
No, me neither. Well, we made it through the week.
We did.
Do you have anything interesting that you have thought about for the week ahead that maybe like isn't from the rotation from this past week that you're looking forward to, or anything in quarantine life that you're looking forward to trying or doing more of?
I mean, I think one thing I did buy last week was an enormous clamshell of spring mix, and it's holding up pretty well.
Okay.
But I need to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I got some sliced. Costco was like such a magical place to me just because it was all stuff I'd never, like a lot of it was stuff I'd never seen before or quantities I was not used to. But I got this sirloin that came in a fridge, like a refrigerator. It's pre-cooked.
Okay.
And it comes with some kind of grill or pan sauce or something. And it's perfectly medium rare, and you just take it out and put it in a pan and heat it up. And then I'm going to make salads with that this week.
Yeah, that'll be yummy.
One of the things we talk about, I'm glad that you're doing a salad today that's a proper salad, because we've talked about the fact that home salads never seem as good or as exciting.
And I pretty much refuse to make like side salads. Like it just feels like the amount of work per enjoyment is so off for me. But
so for me, often what salad is like I grab a handful of spring mix, put it on a kid's plate and give them a squirt of ranch. Like that's really what it looks like in our house, which some of the kids love that. They just want the excuse to eat the ranch. Right. And so they'll eat whatever's under it. But that doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
So I think that will be fun. And then I think that this is going to be another day, either tomorrow or the next day, I'll get to make my favorite
your hash.
Hash.
We finally did put that on our blog. We'll link to it because you've mentioned it a number of times, and you wrote it up for Isaac, your grown son who was moving out. So you wrote it in like directions that, you know, a 20-year-old boy could follow. And we do have that on the blog. So people have often asked about your sweet potato pork hash.
Yes,
recipe.
I believe that it's super easy and everybody goes bananas for it. And I usually serve it with a couple eggs on top, which will be good in my current egg climate in my house.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I think we just got a ButcherBox delivery this week. And Brian was saying they are experiencing delays, but they're still like you place your order pretty far in advance. So at least you would know when it's coming. And so I'm sure we probably have some ribs and we probably have some chicken wings. Those are both, exciting. So we might do some more smoking. I think the weather's going to warm up here. So but other than that, that's as far as I've thought this week. So.
Well, that's as far as you need to just yet.
Yep. Exactly. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And just so you know, we are gearing up for our next set of listener questions episodes. We do those every few months or so. And we would love to hear your voices. We're really going to be prioritizing questions that come in recorded in your own voice. So you can head to speakpipe.com/themomhour, or you can just use your phone's voice memo recorder to record a question and just drop it in an email to us at hello@themomhour.com. We're hoping to kind of strike a balance this time between questions that address the current situation that we're all in, but also, you know, those that don't. So just send it in, whether your question feels really timely for right now or more timeless, just send it in. We would love to hear your voices. So again, that's speakpipe.com/themomhour, lets you do it all right there, makes it super easy, or check the show notes for a few other ways that you can send us a question.
Yeah. And this Friday, we'll also have a voices episode with Stacey Billis of the Didn't I Just Feed You podcast. Last September, Sarah actually interviewed both Stacey and Megan of the Didn't I Just Feed You podcast. And It was one of our most popular Voices episodes ever.
Mm-hmm,
I'm very excited about this. We're going to talk about pantry cooking and freezer cooking because I think that's just very relevant right now, but also should always be something we're good at and kind of building skills around and keeping ahead of your meal planning while things are in this flux. And Stacey also has a cookbook about chicken coming out at the end of April. And I am really excited to talk about that because I think chicken is one of those things that can feel very mysterious. And it's also something there's been shortages of certain cuts.
Hmm.
So if you're having to, you know, learn how to break a chicken down and you've never done that before, or you have to cut, if you cook with a cut, you've not usually, if you're used to just doing chicken breasts, like boneless, skinless, and suddenly you've got to use thighs, it's a little bit different. So we're going to talk about that and dig into some of the chicken mysteries.
I love that, chicken mysteries, and I love Stacey. Okay, well, look for that. That is coming out this Friday of this week. And so we will talk to you then.